Our scripture reading is taken from Matthew 13 as we are considering the parables of the kingdom and reading another very short parable from verses 33 to 35. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Dear people of God, as we said last week about the parable of the mustard seed, short and to the point that it is, doesn't mean that it's not to be taken as very important. And important truths that we have to take and apply to our lives in terms of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How the kingdom of God grows in this world through our witness is a very important subject for us. That we are agents of that growth. Not that we are the agents that make that growth happen in and of itself, as though somehow the power lies in us. But we certainly are the delivery system by which the power of the gospel, the power of God, comes into contact with the world. It is through us that God works. That's why he sent us out as sheep among wolves. That's why we're to be the light and the salt of the earth. He doesn't do it independently of us. In the wisdom of God, that's the way he's chosen to effect change according to his divine will in this world. We're not like the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world, as we've experienced many on the world stage, arise and seek to force their way on other people. They dominate. They do it by the sword. They do it by intimidation. They try to take over the world. But it was difficult. To whatever degree they so-called succeeded, it was always difficult to maintain. Why? Because people did not willingly live under their rule. So if you have a massive empire, you have a mighty task to keep everybody down because everyone doesn't want to keep down. They resist. They resist. So it becomes draining on any nation that tries to force itself on the world. They just can't keep it up forever and ever. Eventually they weaken. Eventually they fall. But Christ kingdom is not of that type. We don't, as a religion, as Christianity, we don't seek to dominate certain areas of the world, and then we have to leave forces there to keep it that way. We don't. We know the struggles even of our nation doing those things. Very difficult. I mean, you can defeat the enemy, that's one thing. But to keep the people in the way that you want them to act and they don't want to do it, they will drain your resources and your will. But Christ's kingdom isn't of that type. We don't have to force it on anyone. And what an insult to the gospel to force it on someone. Absolutely not. My kingdom, says the Lord Jesus Christ, is not of this world. Not of this world. Not of the same kind. There's a total difference between man's kingdom, which is really just dressed up, but really it's the devil's kingdom. And the devil always works by force, intimidation, threats, because he has nothing to change people with. And though he challenged God in Job, he failed because God had changed Job. Not by force, not by bribery, not by threats, but by the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, as I say, try to promote God's kingdom in various ways and try to use the means and the avenues that the kingdoms of this world use. Perhaps political power, perhaps people movements. But our kingdom isn't of that type. The Lord Jesus said, I can call down legions of angels from heaven if I want to, but that isn't the way that my kingdom is going to grow. His disciples were all eager about getting an institution, getting things organized, right? Are you going to establish a kingdom now? Can we sit on your left and right? Can we help you organize all of this stuff? He said, no. My kingdom is not of that kind. Peter tried, of course, with his sword, tried to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ rejected such help. It was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought lasting, permanent, and glorious change into the hearts of men and women. We are brought then to consider this whole subject in this very short parable about yeast that brings internal and external change in the dough, which in terms of size was much greater than the yeast that was put in it. And it brought about such a glorious rise. So first of all, as we consider these verses and this subject, let's understand, first of all, that it's humanly delivered. It's humanly delivered. In other words, God doesn't do it independently of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly his Spirit works by himself to bring forth life, but he doesn't do it independently from the gospel that is supposed to be preached. So in our Reformed circles, we speak about the outward and the inward call. So the outward call is the hearing of the gospel. That's something that we speak. That's something that we communicate to the world. But the inward call, we cannot issue. The inward call is the work of the Holy Spirit, giving us a new heart, changing our attitude. Whereas before we really viewed perhaps the gospel with skepticism, and held it at arm's length, but now all of a sudden things change. Now all of a sudden we want to embrace it. Now we own it. We glory in it. Well, where does that change come from? It doesn't come from us, Christians, witnessing to you. It comes from the work of the Holy Spirit, as Paul says about Lydia. The Lord opened her heart to receive the things spoken by Paul. She had heard, no doubt, other things from other people. But it was when the Holy Spirit, and perhaps she'd even heard the gospel from other people. But what changed now? It was this, that the Holy Spirit opened her heart. Something that Paul could never do. Something that she could never do herself. But God did it through the working of his Holy Spirit. So God doesn't act independently, even though it's his Holy Spirit that brings forth life, that says, let there be life. It's the power of God that is at work. But we are to be agents in his hand. It's humanly delivered in terms of the gospel. And so these parables that we have bring all kinds of people into focus in terms of this activity. So we have farmers in the sower. We have gardeners. We have landowners. We have merchants. We have fishermen. And in this parable, we have a woman. Every one of us is involved. Every one of us is to be that agent of change through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, we all pray that the kingdom of God may come. Thy kingdom come, we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Well, if we're praying that prayer, then we are to be agents in God's hands to effect that. And so you and I are part of that. Leaving aside all the issues of offices in the church and whether women should be ordained or not, those things are clearly taught in the Scriptures. But that doesn't end your serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls you to be an agent of change, to bring forth that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let no one deny us that privilege that God has given. Naaman's slave girl was an agent of change. Samuel was an agent of change. Moses, David, Abraham, as well as Deborah and Abigail and many others. All God's people. Not only are they changed, but they become agents of change. Not only do we have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ given to us, but from us flows out rivers. Rivers of God's grace. We become fountains of living water to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did this woman do? Well, things that many women do if they like cooking. Which is to take some yeast, and I know nothing about this, so don't think I'm in any way a cook as far as that is concerned, but they took this yeast and they embedded it in these three doughs, and it started doing its work, and they started rising, every part of it. It infected all three measures of dough. But that yeast had to be planted there. It didn't come out of the cupboard itself and make its way to the dough. No, it had to be put in the dough. The woman had to understand the necessity of that yeast in the dough. Be convinced of it. And not think, oh, I can bake bread, I don't need that. Well, that's a knowledge part. But when we understand that as Christians, that there can be no change in people apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not try to do it without the gospel. And many do. Many do. Well, I'd just be good to these people. I'd just befriend these people. Or we'll just do things together with these people. All things are fine and good in and of themselves. But I'm saying they're not going to affect any change. If simply being Christians and coming into contact with people brings about that change without us having to say anything or to speak about the gospel, you think the Lord Jesus Christ would have had such a tremendous harvest, perfect as he was? Absolutely perfect. Kind, compassionate. If he spoke the word of God, the gospel, then how much more do we that are not perfect? Christians though we may be, but we're not perfect. So people around us need this ingredient, this vital ingredient. But it has to be in us. It has to be in us. As I read in our call to holiness, as Jesus said, if the salt has lost its flavor, what good is it? Absolutely nothing. It has to be in us for us to be that agent of change as we come into contact with the world. But it's you. Are you a useless piece of salt? Or are you one that brings preservation? Are they a yeast that infects others for good? That's what God calls us to be in this world. Don't be intimidated. Don't let the devil persuade you into thinking, oh, don't, you know, you're going to get people all upset and they're not going to be your friends anymore and then you're going to lose opportunity to have contact with them. They're going to cut you off. So it's best to keep quiet about, you know, the gospel and stuff. That's the, you know, private things of the heart. You just try to be a good Christian in the way that you act. No. We have to be agents that deliver this wonderful active ingredient. And we have to do it as believers, as individuals, but also collectively as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be a church that is like leaven. We have to be a church in this society that has an impact upon people. Not because we have a lunch program, not that there's anything wrong in helping people that in need, but if we do so to the exclusion of the gospel, then we really are not doing anything at all. And we can have all the programs in the world that we want, are targeted to the needs of the people around us. But if that isn't to the end of them hearing the gospel, then we're not really affecting a change at all. And so as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and as individual believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand that though we are sheep among wolves, the wolves will only intimidate people. The wolves will only threaten people. But we as sheep have something to bring to the world that will transform them, not destroy them. Only we have that. You know, in this world, there's so many diseases. In fact, somebody was speaking to me about it yesterday and saying, oh, you know, they had treated someone who was a professor at Berkeley, and he was working on some means by which cancer could be cured, and the cells somehow modified to act in terms of destroying themselves rather than destroying others. And she was so excited. I mean, good reason to be, right? But I'm saying, if somebody came up with a cure for cancer, for all forms of cancer, I mean, as I said before, the line would be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times around the building, people wanting to get in. We have the answer to all of this world's problems. For eternal life. That has to hit us. That has to excite us. That has to bring out compassion in us to those around us. You think if that was true, that every person that had cancer, we would just walk on by? If we really had it? No, we'd be telling everyone about it. Well, that's it. That's the way it is with the gospel. I'm not talking about shoving it down people's throats, you understand. I'm not talking about that's the only thing we speak to them about. No, but certainly that is something that we want to communicate. That's what God calls us to do. And you have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility. And by the way, it's not even a responsibility, it's a privilege, it's an honor. That God has equipped us to do that. And it is, in the second place, redemptively activated. The gospel is the active ingredient. It's not us. It's not our techniques. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians. He said, when I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence of words and worldly wisdom. I don't know that he really had any speech problems, but some indicate that. But that's not necessarily even what he's talking about. He's saying, I didn't come depending on and banking on my ability to persuade you with words and with all kinds of techniques. I didn't. He came with the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. It's that is powerful in terms of our witness. And you and I have to understand that. It is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation by itself. By itself. You don't have to change it. You can't substitute yourself for it. You can't substitute your wonderful character and nature and the way that so friendly that you are and you do things for other people. Those are all good and well. But you have no power in and of yourself to bring any change in their hearts and lives other than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't forget about the gospel. As I said, that's what Paul says. As gifted as he was, as committed as he was, as you remember what he says, he faced death all day long. And that wasn't just a kind of euphemism. No. He faced death all day long. He was beaten so often, chased, persecuted, in jail. But what he drew attention to was never to himself. He didn't say, look what pains I've endured to bring you the gospel. Believe it. He didn't say that at all. No, it was the beauty of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel and their need of the gospel that he stressed upon them. And that's what you need to have. That's what you need to communicate. Don't draw attention to yourself. And we have far too much of that in the general church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Far too much of that. People drawing attention to themselves or to their cause. Forget about that. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what needs to be drawn to the attention of the world. Because that is what will bring about the cure for their wicked and sinful heart. Without that, you can be as loving as you want. Without that, you can be as eloquent as you want. But Romans 3, let that be a warning to you. You can give them all the evidence in the world. You can destroy every argument that they bring against Christianity. And they will look you in the face and say, I don't believe. I don't want to believe. In fact, I don't even think there's a God. Unbelief is so bold in its wickedness, and it will deny the very truth that is standing before their very eyes. In fact, that's what the devil did. He was in God's presence and seeing him in all of his glory. And what did he do? He rebelled. He wanted to be God himself. Was there a lack of evidence? No. Was there a lack of love on God's part that caused the devil to rebel? No. There was that corruption. So the gospel needs to be brought because what needs to be done is not for the heart to be persuaded by arguments, but to be removed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God said, I'm going to take away that hard heart of stone from you because it's irreparable. It's irreparable. I'm going to take that heart out and I'm going to give you in return a heart of flesh that is sensitive to God, that will embrace God. People of God, that's something that you and I cannot do. That's the only thing that can do that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the working of God's Holy Spirit. The gospel is the vital ingredient. You can bring the yeast and have it in your pocket, but the dough is not going to rise, is it? I mean, you can put it right on the same table, but it's not going to rise. It has to be in the dough. There has to be contact. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So you have to speak the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says as much in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God is pleading through us, calling us to repentance and faith. Not God is working through us to be loving to people, even though we should be. But God is pleading through us. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. to call people to faith and to repentance. And as I said, I'm not advocating that every time you open your mouth, that's what you speak. But there are opportunities that God gives to us, and we have to take those opportunities. Naaman's servant girl, I'm sure every day didn't get up and say, you know, there's a prophet in Samaria. No, there's a prophet in Samaria. Every time she came, no. But the opportune time that came, she opened her mouth and spoke. God will give you opportunities, but you need to speak. You need to look for those opportunities. You need to be eager for those opportunities. And when they come, you need to know what to say. You need to know how to express the gospel in a very simple and truthful way that they can appreciate and understand. The gospel isn't complicated. I mean, there are many complicated things in the scriptures, absolutely. But the gospel isn't complicated in terms of its deliverance to people. It's you are in your sins, you are under the condemnation of God, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, God forgives us our sins and grants us eternal life. Comfort for life and death. The Bible itself makes that clear. How are we saved, the Bible asks. Well, faith, it says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10. So we have to speak. It has to be that personal contact. I mean, it's all very well, people can hear things on the radio, but they can turn it off whenever they want. There's no dialogue between the radio and them. They can read a pamphlet, and again, no doubt God uses that in his ways, but there's no communication between, in terms of dialogue, between the pamphlet and the person. But us, there's a contact between us and them. Preaching the gospel. Not just delivering facts, but pleading, encouraging them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be persuasive. And I'm not talking about brilliant argumentation. I'm talking about communicating to them the compassion of God. And the compassion that we have. That we're not just interested in having another person attend our church. We're interested in your life. Your life. That is something that you and I can bring to them. And they need to know that. They need to see that. And finally, it's comprehensively applied. This yeast. When you come into contact with this yeast, then there's no part of the dough that is unaffected. When we are part of God's kingdom, there's no part of God's kingdom that is left without being infected. Infected, in a sense, is maybe we associate with that negative things, right? I'm not talking about negative infection. I'm talking about a positive infection, a positive change. To transform us. There's no believer in God's kingdom that will not be, in the end, without spot and blemish, blameless before Him as a bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not fail in anyone. We might have our doubts about those around us. Oh, I don't know, you know, that person's not making much progress. But let there be no doubt. Let there be no doubt. That God's kingdom, like these three doughs, they're going to all rise to the fullest of the glory that God will bring upon us. That we will stand before Him as the glorious bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven with no sin. That's the power of the transformation in God's kingdom. And so you and I are part of that. Not only are we agents in terms of bringing it to others, but we ourselves have been affected by that. And that is at work in us. And you may look at your own life and say, how my life is changing. I mean, it's always hard to see it in a very small time increment in our life. But over the long haul, we are changing, are we not? God is changing us from one degree of glory to another. There's a long way to go, even as Paul says, towards the end of his life. He said, I haven't reached that goal yet, but I strain with everything that I have. Reaching forward for that high calling with which he has been called. People of God, yes, there's a lot of work to do, a long way to go, but that work has begun in us. And it is changing us for the good, making us more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that should excite you. And if there is no change, then we have to ask ourselves a question, because I don't want to judge you and say, well, this person is not a Christian, because I don't know. I mean, it may be like the wheat is growing and you can't tell the difference between the wheat and the tares when it's so small. I don't want to make that judgment, but you can do it yourself. Is there a change? Is there a constant change? Are you mindful of it? Or is there no change at all? It doesn't have to be that way. There can be change. It's believing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be said of you, he that has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. The yeast will not fail. The gospel will not fail. Every person in God's kingdom will be brought to its glorious end. Not by force. Not by intimidation. But because of the powerful working of God's gospel in your heart and in mine. People of God, we have a wonderful, wonderful treasure in earthen vessels. Is that treasure that needs to be shown to the world? Is that treasure that they need to embrace? And we'll see that next week when we look at the parables about that precious jewel. But for now, let us be light and salt. And let us hold forth to all those around us this wonderful ingredient of which we are more than proud. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of God unto salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that this glorious work that you have undertaken, that you have been pleased to not only save us, but make us co-workers with you. And that is just absolutely astounding to us. Such a heavy responsibility. Such an important task. And yet it is us that you've sent into the world to preach the gospel. That you've equipped us by giving us all that we need. This wonderful and powerful message that all those that believe will, without fail, comprehensively be transformed from sinners to saints. And our Father in heaven, what a privilege for us to be agents of that. To see that, to witness that in our own lives and in the lives of others. Our Father in heaven, it is a constant source of rejoicing and worshipping you for this. And our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless each and every one of us, even in this week, that you would grant us a wisdom to recognize those opportunities and the boldness with which to speak. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would also bless our church as we seek to preach the gospel. And Lord, we pray that you would do your work, miraculous work, redemptive work in our midst, that we too might rejoice. Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers and that you would bless us further, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.